During this Advent season, we have been looking at the cast of characters that we find in the Christmas story. Jason from Vernon walked us through the genealogy of Jesus in story form, and he showed us this really difficult genealogy and past heritage that Jesus came from. It shows us that no one is excluded from being part of Jesus' family line. No one is exempt from being able to be grafted in. Sandy from Lake Country helped us to see Mary and her response to life-altering circumstances. Her response, "Here I am, Lord," kind of like what Jaden just said this morning. Keith led us last week as we looked at Herod and looked at the power that Herod wielded to try to control and how Jesus actually offers us freedom when we surrender our control to him. He is the one who holds all power, and he uses it to offer us life and abundance. It doesn't matter what aspect of Scripture we look at or which characters we consider, we find God to be so intricately involved in their lives and their well-being. His desire is that all creation would know him and would flourish, including us in our stories. Today, we want to look at what it means to be a carrier of a promise and how being true to your word, for good or for bad, matters. Many years ago now, some extended family of ours needed to move far away for work. And with the move, they lost their support system and friends, and yet God supplied for them in some unique ways and quickly. For many reasons, they needed to buy a house there instead of rent, but they didn't qualify for a mortgage, and they didn't have enough to get into the market. Is something clicking?
Yeah, it's your headset moving as you turn your
head. Okay, well, here's hoping, guys. Sorry, I can't. I'll try this. Tell me if I need to change, okay, Travis? So they didn't have enough to qualify for the mortgage or to get into the market. And there were two different couples there that believed in them and trusted them enough to lend them a large sum of money so they could purchase. They made an agreement to pay them back. Maybe we will switch. Excuse me. There we go. Let's see if that works. All right, so these people lent the money, and they made an agreement to pay them back, with interest, of course, when the house sold and with whatever gains came from the investment. Years passed, and again, our extended family need to move for a job relocation. The problem was that the markets had tanked, and they had to sell at a loss. They could have walked away from their agreement because of the loss, but they didn't. In the new location, the spouse started working full-time so that they could use her wage to pay back the debt. It took 5 years. 5 years of diligence. 5 years of sacrifice. 5 years of perseverance. 5 years of work. But they honored the agreement, and they paid it all back. They alone swallowed the losses. They were true to their word, even though it cost them. When you think of the term true to their word, who or what comes to mind? Is it a specific person? Or is it immediately a certain circumstance that comes to your mind? Maybe it's someone who fulfilled a promise that you never expected them to even remember. Or someone who followed through on a contract, even though it wasn't signed. Maybe it was simply someone who stopped to play with a child because they promised to do so. Usually the phrase true to their word causes us to recall a person doing exactly what they said they would do. If it takes a long while, though, for that person to fulfill their promise, do you doubt their promise or do you doubt their word? It would be lovely to say no, but we often do, don't we? The friend who promises to come and visit soon. Your sibling who promises to pay back the money that you lent them. The boss who promises you a promotion or a raise when the time is right. Or your adult child who says they'll come and fix that item for you. The list could go on. As time goes by and the promises aren't followed through on, we begin to doubt not just their word, but the character of the person who made the promise as well. Our reaction often depends on their track record and their history. We likely don't see them as true to their word. It could be true that they're not, or maybe there's circumstances that we're not aware of that have impacted their ability to fulfill that promise for a while. Maybe the friend's finances got too tight and they had to take on a job while they were studying, which has meant they haven't been able to come back and visit. Maybe your sibling has been saving diligently and wants to give that money back to you face to face. Maybe your boss knows something that the company will soon be launching. The timing isn't quite right yet, but he knows you're perfect for it. Maybe the repair promise has just slipped your child's mind. Both being true to our word and not being true to our word carry significant weight and consequences. One thing is sure, God is always true to his word. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there are over 300 messianic promises or prophecies about Jesus? They talk about where Jesus would be born, to whom he would be born, what he would say. They even talk about how he was going to die, including the number of coins that would be used to betray him. The mathematical probability of all 300 plus of these promises and prophecies being fulfilled exactly is like 1 over 84 with 100 zeros. That's a lot of zeros. And that's God. He is always true to his word. He will always fulfill what he has promised. Has God ever given you a promise? What was it? Or what is it? Have you seen that promise fulfilled yet? Are you still waiting? If you haven't seen the complete fulfillment yet, don't lose hope. There's approximately 2,000 years between the first messianic prophecy in Genesis 3 and the birth of Jesus. And if you can't recall any promises, ask God to point them out to you as you read the Bible. And then ask him if this one is for you. God will never give a promise that contradicts what he says in his word. So when you find a promise in the Bible...
Michelle, you can't put your bone hand there.
Sorry. Thank you. I'm glad we have you, Travis. When you find a promise in the Bible, you can be sure that it's true. God has given me many promises that I live by and that I bank on to be true, like... As your day, so shall your strength be, from Deuteronomy. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, from Philippians. From James, come near to God, and he will come near to you. I will turn this valley of trouble into a gateway of hope, from Hosea. Those are just to name a few. My dad was radically saved out of alcoholism. He came from a hard and rough background, and he only got to go to school till grade 5 because his brothers went off to war and his dad died, and he had to take over the farm. He wasn't a formally educated man, but when he met Jesus, he became a wise man of faith in God. When he found a promise in the Bible, he simply believed God for it, no matter how long it took for that promise to be fulfilled. One of those promises was Acts 16:31. It says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." My dad took that to mean him and his whole family, so he began to pray to that end. Now, he was the youngest of 16, and when he and my mom met Jesus in 1960, his whole family turned away from them. My dad believed this promise, and he kept praying and trusting and loving. Many, many years passed, and every one of his siblings chose to follow Jesus before they died. God was true to his word, true to his promise. Today in our cast of characters, we want to look at a man who lived like that. He trusted God to be true to his word no matter how long it took. Let's take a look at this man and the story around him as we read Luke 2, 25 to 32. Luke 2, 25 to 32. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, as we look at Simeon's life and his example today, we invite you to reveal to us how we too can be carriers of your promise. In Jesus' name, amen. We really don't know a whole lot about Simeon. There's conjecture, but there's nothing definite as to who he was. That's okay. We still can have significant things to learn and apply through his story as told here. First off, Simeon was from Jerusalem, so he knew what it was like to live in a city with the hustle and bustle of all of that. He may have come from a line of priests, but in this text, he is too old to serve in that capacity anymore. It says in Numbers 4 that those who served in the temple only did so till age 50. I guess Rick and I should be forced into retirement with that stipulation. I'm glad that's the Old Testament. Simeon not only carried a promise of God, but he got to see it fulfilled. How does his story inform us with how we too can be carriers of God's promise? The text tells us that he was righteous and devout. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but when someone today is called righteous or devout, it can actually be meant as a criticism, not a compliment. It sounds rigid or proud, but that isn't what is meant here. This description of righteous and devout is actually describing a visionary way to live. It's a picture of how the church is meant to be. What does it mean to be a Jesus follower or to be the church? For some, it could mean going to church on Sundays. For others, maybe being part of a small group. For some, some believe praying a prayer so that you can go to heaven when you die is the definition. There's truth to all of these things, but they don't capture the meaning and the drive of Simeon's life. What made him unique and able to stay so connected that he first off receives the promise and then was in the right place at the right time to see it fulfilled? What we see in Simeon is what it means to be a carrier of the spectacular vision and promise of God as we live out our lives in the here and now. If we can capture this and realize that we're called to carry the promises of God like Simeon did, it can change everything, even if it takes a day, a week, or a lifetime to see it fulfilled. Verse 25 says, Simeon was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. The Greek word for righteous is upright, and in that day it meant those who followed God's proper standards and actions expressed in the covenants. Today we might refer to a person like this as a person of integrity. What you see is what you get, in public or in private. The word devout is the second word that describes Simeon, and it means to be totally committed to a cause or a belief. Devout sounds disciplined. Both of these words, though, righteous and devout, are really words of love. John Mark Comer says, love is the metric of spiritual maturity, not discipline. We can't earn spiritual maturity. Our small group is going through the Practicing the Way series, and in session 4, John Mark Comer says something that's pivotal to our journey with Jesus. He says, putting into practice the things that Jesus modeled, like spiritual practices, like being righteous and devout, it opens us up to God's grace and His transformation from the inside out. The doing isn't for earning sake. It comes out of knowing God and spending time with Him. How does one become a carrier of the promise like Simeon was? First off, we need to listen. We know we're listening when our righteous and devout changes from discipline, from rote learning, or from ritual to a life-giving meeting with God. That's the place where transformation happens. If we want to carry the promise of God, we need to learn to listen. How does one become one who listens? By taking time with God to be shaped by God. Listening is training ground. Listening helps us gain new perspectives. Listening helps us to see things in new light. If you think about it, even our first step in the gospel was listening. Listening transforms us. Sometimes we get so busy and distracted that we forget to listen to hear. And that is an easy tendency, but it can lead to dryness or to legalism. It's listening to hear, it's in listening to hear that we're transformed and become more like God. Now let's be real, we all listen to all kinds of stuff. Why is listening to God through His word so transformational? Simeon listened enough in his walk with God that he even had insider information. Verse 26 says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Now, there might be all kinds of reactions to that phrase. We learn throughout the Bible over and over that God speaks and that He desires to communicate with His people. The Bible teaches us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He never changes. We have already talked about the fact that what He promises, He follows through on. So let's listen to what it says in Luke 8:18. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Simeon obviously listened to God's teaching, and he was given more understanding, even of things not yet in existence. So being righteous and devout isn't so much about what we do, it's about listening and following the one who does his work in and through us. He never changes, and his promises are true. He will change us from the inside out to reflect him more and more as we take time with him. Verse 27 tells us this about Simeon. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, this was a normal day in the life of Simeon. His normal days meant he was alert to the Holy Spirit's prompts, and so he followed and obeyed. It doesn't seem like going to the temple courts was unfamiliar to him, yet it was noted that on this day, he was moved by the Holy Spirit to do so. Just an aside here. Have you ever noticed what a master weaver God is at orchestrating things, at timing and circumstances? We could never coordinate all those details all to fall into place at exactly the right time, like he did with the 300 messianic prophecies. But he does it over and over and over again. And the promises are fulfilled exactly as they said they would be. First, we need to listen. Second, we need to look. The second consideration in how Simeon became a carrier of the promise is that he looked. He had a perspective that wasn't limited to the here and now. One of the things that I notice happening in our Western society culture is short-sighted thinking and decision-making. We choose according to what we see. We bow out sometimes when things get tough. When relationships get hard or their differences, rather than learning or growing together into deeper maturity, we back away. In generations past, it was normal for the career of our parents to be passed down, and now it's normal for a person to change careers multiple times in their working years. And I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that we've lost some of the pilgrimage perspective that comes with long-haul thinking and goals that help to keep us looking and help keep things in perspective. The older I get, the more I see the importance and the impact of the choices that I made way back when I was young. Oftentimes, it was decades of choosing to do the right thing without necessarily seeing any results. Like Eugene Peterson says in The Message, it's a long obedience in the same direction, looking, perspective. We don't know how old Simeon was when it was revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died, but we know he'd been waiting a long time. What do you do while you're waiting? Do you distract yourself? Do you fill the time with other things? Maybe do you try to put the item you're waiting for out of your mind? Simeon continued on, daily living his life, being righteous and devout, trusting the promise of the one who gave it, and being attentive to Holy Spirit's promptings. He had no clue when the fulfillment would come, but as he walked along knowing it would come, even if it took a lifetime, he remained present with the promise, and so his perspective was attentive. He kept looking for the fulfillment. That reminds me of my dad's faith as he carried on, actively loving, praying, waiting, trusting for his family to find Jesus. A longevity perspective of a promise that's sure helps us to live attentively and follow God's prompts when they come. It helps us to look. And while we look, all the while, we're waiting, waiting, as Simeon did, for the fulfillment of the promise that he carried. Like perspective, God, the carriers of God's promise wait for the completion of that promise with patience and with expectancy. The result of seeing a promise fulfilled? Pure elation. When the long-awaited fulfillment of a promise comes, we realize it was so worth the wait. Whether it takes a day, a season, or a lifetime, Simeon testifies this reality to this reality in verses 29 to 32. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. Light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Satisfaction, rest, delight, joy, fulfillment. All, I am sure, with a deep, deep sigh of a longing being fulfilled. We're coming to the final days of this season we call Advent, a season of anticipating and preparing our hearts for the coming of Christmas, the coming of Jesus. But this really isn't our only season of Advent. We also Advent as we look to Easter and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it doesn't end there either.
I was recently in a prayer meeting with some pastors from the city, and one of them talked about how God's been stretching his view of Advent this season, not just to think about Christmas, but to think about Adventing, waiting, and preparing as we look for the second coming, the victory, the promise of Jesus coming again. It will happen. He said so. To do this, we need Simeon's conviction on the character of God, that he is always true to his word. We need Simeon's posture to listen. We need his vision to look, and we need his perspective and willingness to wait while we walk faithfully, righteous and devout in pursuing Jesus. That's how we become carriers of the promise, like Simeon was. We started by talking about the phrase true to their word. For good or for bad, the fulfillment of that phrase has impact. It's a descriptive phrase, and its roots point us back to history. In the Old Testament, Nehemiah was serving under a foreign king, and he became aware of the plight of Israel and the broken down walls in Jerusalem. The story tells us that he prays and he repents on behalf of his people, and then he approaches the king. Long story short, he goes back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls with a lot of opposition. And they take time to celebrate small wins. And one of the times when they gather, they listen to the law of the Lord being read. And this is what they read in Nehemiah. You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you. And you have done what you promised, for you are always true to your word. God's promises are true and sure, and they will come to pass, whether it takes a day, 40 years, in a lifetime, or over thousands of years. Every promise of the Lord is sure. So like Simeon, what promises are you trusting God for? Actually, let's be more specific. What one promise are you going to doggedly trust God for and be attentive to for its fulfillment? How will you listen and look and wait so that you too can be moved by the Spirit in obedience to be where you need to be to see the fulfillment of that promise like Simeon did? In Luke 2:29, he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, your fulfillment. We're going to sing a song in response today. Maybe you need to sit and ponder. Maybe you need to talk with God. Maybe it's to consider what promise you will trust God for, or maybe it's to consider how you need to be true to your word, or maybe you want to stand and join with us and sing. Take the posture that's best for you as we sing this song as a response, yes and amen.